पूर अलम भवतां यदूनां दैवं प्रियकुलपति क्वचाखिं करो वहा अस्त्वेवं अंगा भगवान् भजतां मुकुन्दो मुक्तिं ददाति कदाचित् मनः भक्तियोगं। Shukadev Goswami continued, "My dear King, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mukunda, is actually the maintainer of all the members of the Pandava and Yadu dynasties. He is your spiritual master, worshipable deity, friend, and the director of your activities. To say nothing of this, he sometimes serves your family as a messenger or servant. This means he worked just like ordinary servants do. Those engaged in getting the Lord's favor attain liberation from the Lord very easily. But he who does not very easily, give the opportunity to render direct service unto him." Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. While instructing Maharaj Parikshit, Shukadev Goswami thought it wise to encourage the king, because the king might be thinking of the glorious position of various royal dynasties. Especially glorious is the dynasty of Priyavrat, in which the Supreme Lord Rishabdev incarnated. Similarly, the family of Uttanapada Maharaj, the father of Maharaj Dhruva, is also glorious due to King Prithu's taking birth in it. The dynasty of Maharaj Raghu is glorified because Lord Ramchandra appeared in that family. As far as the Yadu and Kuru dynasties are concerned, they existed simultaneously. But of the two, the Yadu dynasty was more glorious due to the appearance of Lord Krishna. Maharaj Parikshit might have been thinking that the Kuru dynasty was not as fortunate as the others because the Supreme Lord did not appear in that family, neither as Krishna, Ramchandra, Rishabdev, or Maharaj Prithu. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj was encouraged by Shukadev Goswami in this particular verse. In this beautiful chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, from the fifth canto, Shukadev Goswami is herein speaking in such a way to encourage Maharaj Parikshit. Because after all, the Supreme Lord appeared in various dynasties, as Srila Prabhupada is explaining. And Maharaj Parikshit may have been feeling somewhat bad, somewhat inferior, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead did not appear in the Kuru dynasty. Therefore, Shukadev Goswami is saying, your dynasty is actually even better, because he became like an ordinary servant to the great kings of your dynasty. Maharaj Yudhisthira, he was the message carrier. Lord Sri Krishna would ask Yudhisthira Maharaj, how can I serve you? And although Yudhisthira Maharaj worshipped Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in order to please Krishna, he would give him messages to carry, sometimes very difficult messages. He sent message to Duryodhana through Krishna that you kindly give these Pandavas just five villages. After all, you know that they are the rightful heirs to the entire world. You have cheated. You've exploited them. You've taken everything away from them. There's no question of justice, but they are Kshatriyas. In order for them to perform their dharma, give them at least one village each. But Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana, feeling so much envious toward the Pandavas, they replied that we will not give enough land that you can put the head of a needle through. And Duryodhana was so angry with Krishna for coming on Yudhisthira's behalf that he actually sent guards to arrest Krishna. At that time, Krishna manifested his Virat Roop, his universal form. And it was dazzling, like millions and millions of suns. And the soldiers backed off. And Duryodhana witnessed with his own eyes. But even after seeing this, because of Duryodhana's envy, he still would not consent to the desire of Krishna. Ye yathamam prapadyante tam sthataiva bhajamyaham mama vartmanu varatante manusya paratasaravasha. Krishna reveals himself according to how you approach him. Even though Duryodhana knew that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he had just witnessed the most wonderful manifestation, still, because of his false pride, because of his ego, he would not give up his stubborn behavior. This is to what extent false pride can block our relationship with God. So Yudhisthira was sending on Lord Krishna on such difficult missions. And for Arjuna, Krishna became his chariot driver. We read in Mahabharata how Krishna would just ask Arjuna where to go. Arjuna says, You take my chariot between these two armies. Let me see who have come to fight this war. It was there that Bhagavad Gita was spoken. Later on, when Arjuna vowed to kill, what was the name of?
Jayadrath.
Because he had just unfairly been a part of a conspiracy against Arjuna's own son, Abhimanyu. Krishna was just riding those horses like anything through the battlefield. And at one time, the horses were tired. Krishna told Arjuna, "You do the glorious work of fighting. I will brush the horses, and I will massage them, and I will bring them for water." In this way, Krishna was performing most menial services. And during the Rajasuya sacrifice of Maharaj Yudhisthira Maharaj was assigning every one of his associates a particular service. And Krishna volunteered personally to wash the feet of every guest that came with his own hands. Just to show the world how he becomes the servant of the servant of the servant of his own devotee. So we can understand how dear the devotee is to the Lord. That the Supreme Personality of Godhead agrees to become subordinate to the love of his devotee. Srila Prabhupada would often say that there are many philosophers who teach you that you can become God. But it is impossible. How can you become God? Either you're God or you're not God. God never becomes God. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetu nane nikhonte ya jagad viparivaratate. Krishna says that this material nature is working under my direction. Tribir gunamayar bhavaya. Krishna is never under the influence of the three modes of nature. But the jivatma has that tendency due to misusing the free will to become subordinate to this material existence. But Krishna is eternally the master. He is Ishvara Parama Krishna. Satchit Ananda Vigra. Anadir Adir Govinda Saravakarana Karanam. So you can never become God. But Guru Maharaj Srila Prabhupada said, through Krishna consciousness, you can become better than God. Not God. You can never become God, but you can become better than God. What does this mean? Trinarapi sunichena, tarorapi sahishnana, amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. When you become humble like a blade of grass, when you become more tolerant than a tree, offer all respect to others and expect none in return, and you could chant the holy name of the Lord constantly with great attention, purely. And for someone who calls out Krishna's name with such humility and devotion, Krishna becomes, by his own inconceivable mercy, the servant of such a devotee. He becomes subordinate to the love of his devotee. And therefore, what is the supreme path of bhakti? To become the servant of such a devotee. Mad bhakta puja vyadika. Krishna told Uddhava, the one who declares himself to be my devotee is not really my devotee. But one who is the devotee of my devotee, he is devotee. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that great Paramhamsa Mahabhagavat, sometimes people would come to him just to discuss Krishna Katha. And he would have a very simple formula by which he would understand who he wanted to spend time and discuss Krishna Katha with and who he did not. So many big gurus, so many big yogis, so many babajis and sadhus would approach him, and he would ask them a question. Are you a devotee of Krishna? And if that person would say, yes, I am a devotee of Krishna, he would say, please forgive me, but I'm very busy. Please be on your way. I don't have time. If that person would say, I am not a devotee of Krishna. I am a devotee of Krishna's devotees. Then Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say, ah, I have all my life to spend with you. Gopi Bharatur Padakamalayora Dasa Das Anudas. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, playing the role of the perfect Vaishnava, he only aspired for this position. To be the servant of the servant of the servant of the devotees. Even God himself aspires to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the devotees. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would arrange for the residential facilities for the devotees personally when they would come from Bengal to Jagannath Puri. He would personally arrange prasad for them. Sometimes he would serve them with his own hands. When he was on his way to Gaya, he had a great fever, and the devotees began to bring all sorts of medications, Ayurvedic medicines, various other, but his fever wouldn't go down. He was appearing to be delirious. And his students, they didn't know what to do. And finally he told them, there is only one medicine that will cure my fever and save my life. And that is the water that washes the feet of the Lord's devotees. You bring me that water. And they went and brought the water from the feet of Brahman Vaishnavas. And he drank it, and immediately he was cured. So the Lord himself aspires to be the servant of the servant of the servant. So what is our position? Do we think we can approach our Lord directly? And even to approach the spiritual master directly. If we want to actually please him, he will be most pleased when we become the servant of his servants. So this should be our aspiration. Shukadev Goswami is here giving Maharaj Parikshit this encouragement. This is the nature of a preacher. A preacher will say anything to encourage someone to become more attentive, to engage in the process of devotional service. I remember in my own life, one of the first times I met Srila Prabhupada, I was living in Vrindavan, sleeping on bank of Jamuna. And I was just visiting this place and that place and so many places and so many sadhus. There was no Hare Krishna temple in Vrindavan at the time. It was 1971. And Srila Prabhupada came with about 20 disciples. And the devotees actually, they saw that I was so used to living in India in such a severe way. And they were always getting sick. They actually asked, would you like to be Prabhupada's servant? Because we're always getting sick and we can't serve him properly. And I was so crazy and foolish that I said, I will be his servant only if he stays in Vrindavan, because I will never leave Vrindavan. I have already promised Radha and Krishna I will never leave Vrindavan. So they were saying that you are bogus. They were telling me you are bogus, you are all nonsense. You are Sahajya, you are Smarta Brahman, you are Mayava, everything. I was getting all the nice, I was rascal. Just because I wanted to stay in Vrindavan. And actually, everything they were saying about me was true. Probably still is. But I was thinking that they just don't understand, these American devotees. What can they understand about Vrindavan? I was so puffed up like this. And Prabhupada, he saw me one day, and I bowed down, and he looked at me, and he asked me, how long have you been in Vrindavan? And I was thinking, oh no, now Prabhupada's going to chastise me. First all his disciples chastised me, now he's going to chastise me. This is going to be a fate worse than death. So with folded hands, I said, Srila Prabhupada, I've been here about 6 months. He looked at me very serious. And when Guru Maharaj looks at you in the eyes, you can feel his vision touching your very soul. And then he smiled, and he patted me on the head, and he said, very nice, very nice. Vrindavan is such a wonderful place. And I was thinking, yes, Prabhupada understands me. He is actually a true guru. He understands my heart. And actually, what he was saying, formally, he was just saying what I wanted to hear just to win my heart. And at that point, when he said that, I was ready to leave. I was ready to do anything he said. This is preaching. Preaching means to change a person's heart. Preaching means to give a person what that person needs to inspire, to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. So Shukadev Goswami is encouraging Maharaj Parikshit that your forefathers, Arjuna, Yudhisthira, they were so dear to the Lord that the Lord became his servant, so how dear you should be to the Lord also. How grateful you should be in your loving surrender at the lotus feet of Krishna. So today we are very fortunate that we have the chance to be the servant of the servant of a very wonderful special devotee that has come to join us. His name is His Holiness Srila Trivikram Maharaj. He is one of the most senior sannyasi disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. He first met Srila Prabhupada and became a surrendered devotee of this movement in 1968. And what year you took sannyas?
71.
In 1971, when I was living on the bank of the Jamuna, he had already taken sannyas from Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada gave him many very difficult missions. He was one of the first devotees that Srila Prabhupada sent to Korea, Japan, all those places to start centers. And since that time, he has faithfully and very purely served our Gurudev. At this time, he's preaching most of the time in Poland, one of the what was Iron Curtain communist countries. And there, from what I have heard, wonderful news reports that hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people gather together and raise their arms to chant
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare.
And as His Holiness Trivikram Maharaj sings, everyone with great enthusiasm, very loudly, raises their arms and chants.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare.
And you have seen his beautiful dancing today, which makes everyone raise their arms higher and chant louder.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare.
Trivikram Maharaj ki.
Hare
Hare. So we'd like to ask His Holiness if he would kindly tell us some of his remembrances of Srila Prabhupada and some of his personal interactions with our beloved spiritual master.
Hare Krishna. Om Gyana Timirandasya Janaganaslakayam Chaksus Viritam Jena Tasmai Shri Hrave Namaha. So thank you, Radhanath Swami, for inviting me here and giving me a chance to become purified in the association of so many nice devotees. I was thinking when you were speaking just now how Srila Prabhupada was so expert at preaching. He would always encourage his devotees and give them exactly what they needed, and how he encouraged you and appreciated your living in Vrindavan. But some of us weren't so pious as you, and he also gave us what we needed. And sometimes that was very strong words. Because we're such rascals that he needed to correct us. Because I wasn't living in Vrindavan, I was living in Maya, I was living in sense gratification. So when he picked us up, he had to shake us a little bit to get all the dirt off. I remember one time he was coming to the University of Buffalo, where I was a student in the very beginning, 1968. And I had met some of the devotees. I had been to the temple and the chanting. And so Srila Prabhupada came there. And of course, I was very eager to see him. But at the same time, I was a little skeptical, a little cynical, you know, because in the West, of course, we weren't familiar with this idea of worshiping a person. Here was a person. I thought, well, he's a human being. How come these people are worshiping him? I don't quite understand. But that's what they were doing, that's for sure. Everybody, you know, they were keeping a picture of Prabhupada and they were offering aarti and bowing down. So when we had a chance to meet Srila Prabhupada, we were thinking, I'm going to examine this person and really find out if he's worthy to be worshipped. So I remember he was in his room in the beginning in Buffalo there and sitting. And I was in the back against the wall. And it was a small enough room and there was a few people. And he was busy with something. And then I was examining him, you know, I was watching him. And suddenly he looked up and he saw me looking at him. And then he, just like Radhana said, he had a way of penetrating right into your soul with his vision. He looked right into my heart and he said, "Yes." And of course I was pinned to the wall. I realized that I was looking at him in a, you can say, in an impure way, in a way of a critical analysis, trying to find some fault, thinking that I was so intelligent, I was going to figure this person out, you know, and put him in a certain category and keep him in that place, and then I would have, you know, some knowledge, some kind of acquired knowledge. But by his mercy, I gradually became captivated by him. I remember after that time, then I finished school and we went to New Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada was there. And he gave me an assignment. By this time it was 1969. And he sent me to London, where there were some devotees had gone, three household couples. So he wanted me to go to assist them. I was a brahmachari. So then he came soon after that, and I was fortunate as a senior brahmachari there to be given the service of every day getting to massage Srila Prabhupada. The doctors had recommended that he should be massaged. His health was a little weak, because not so much weak, but because he had a heart attack, so they recommended this was good for his circulation. So every day we would go, and it was a very wonderful transcendental service. We would put a mat on the floor. Srila Prabhupada would finish his correspondence and he'd come and sit down. And then we began massaging his body. It took about 45 minutes or 1 hour. So he was there for 3 months. So during that period, that 3 months period, then he actually won me over. Radhanath was won over in one moment. It took me about 1 year before I really started to love this person, started to feel that, yes, I would do anything for him. He's so wonderful. And it was a little gradual, but... and, of course, it wasn't that he did anything, you know, can say to try to trick me or to bring me to become his disciple, but just he was so full of love. And he was always concerned. I remember one time he asked me, "So, your health is okay?" And I said, "Well, I have a little toothache, Prabhupada. I was going to go to the dentist today." He said, "Oh," and he was asking me about it. So the next day I came, and I'm coming up the stairs. He was up, and he heard me something. He said, "Come on." He would say, "Come on." Then before I even get up to the stairs, he said, "So how is your tooth today?" And I was thinking, oh my God, here's the most important man in the whole world. He has a worldwide mission. He's corresponding to so many people. And I have him worrying about my tooth. So
So I was thinking that. But that was the way he was. He was so concerned. I remember once a devotee was sick.
Maharaj, because he's transcendental.
A devotee was sick, and then he complained, this devotee, that he hadn't been taken care of properly when he was sick. Sometimes we have that experience because we left our family and so on. We were living in a foreign country. This was in Japan. Srila Prabhupada was there. And then Prabhupada called all the devotees to come into the room. And we sat, and Srila Prabhupada started saying, so why wasn't he properly taken care of when he was sick? Now he's going. And then he spoke like that. He said, we've given up everything, therefore we should take care of the devotees. They are the most dear to Krishna. Then he turned to the devotee who had been sick, and very feelingly he said, and very genuinely, he said, but why didn't you call me? I would have come and taken care of you. And this was the feeling that we got from Srila Prabhupada, that he really was a servant of the devotees. And although we were just his disciples, but this was his consideration, that he was thinking, I don't think myself as the spiritual master. I don't think of myself as the guru, but I think myself as a servant of my disciples. And actually, that was his mentality. On the order of his spiritual master, he was accepting disciples and he was training them. So he was a servant of the disciple. He was also a servant of his spiritual master. But he never thought that he was the master. He always kept that very humble opinion of himself. Very humble consideration. and therefore, he would give us what we needed. Sometimes it was strong words, like in my case, and someone who is very sweet, like our Radhanath, he could just encourage him. But whatever he did, the feeling was that he was doing it as our well-wisher. Even if he used strong words, even if he corrected us in a very firm way, there was never a feeling that there was any malice or any envy. But it was done for our benefit. And if we took it like that, we could see that actually it was. It really did benefit us. His words would help us in the future to overcome our difficulties and to remain fixed. So this is the position of the transcendental pure devotee, of which Srila Prabhupada was certainly the topmost, from the topmost category. But he very kindly came, agreed to come, and to mix with us. Although he was Uttama Adhikari, but he took the position of the preacher. The preacher, we know, he has to make distinction between the atheist who he avoids, and the innocent who he preaches to, and the devotees who he makes friends with, and the Lord he sees in the temple. So this is the position of the preacher. So Prabhupada came to that platform. He came down, you can say, just out of, overbrimming with compassion. He was so full of compassion for the suffering of humanity that he took this position. I remember one time he was lecturing in London. It was the first series of lectures that he gave there. And it was very well attended. Maybe 300 or 400 people came, mostly Indians in London. But some of them were challenging. I remember one man was interrupting in the middle of the lecture, saying, no, we don't accept that. And Prabhupada had to be very strong. He said, sit down, you are nonsense. He told this man in a big assembly like this. And then we were just like his children, you know, sitting there, like, and we're thinking, wow, Prabhupada is so bold, so strong, establishing the Bhagavad Dharma. And afterwards, because it was a series of lectures, so the next day again, he was due to speak. So I was giving massage, I told you. And so I was thinking, I was like a trainer, and getting him in shape to go out and deliver another knockout performance. So I was massaging him, and I was talking. And I became too much flattering and talkative, and suddenly Prabhupada said, no! With a very strong, firm, authoritative voice, he stopped me from this flattery. And then with another voice, just like a young child, he spoke. He said, and this was a voice from way inside his heart, He said, I am just a humble servant. So when he said that, I felt that I didn't have any business even being in the same house with such a person. He was so pure, so noble, so aristocratic. And I was just such a low-class person. But somehow, out of his mercy, he was letting me come and do this service and touch him, touch his body. But actually, I didn't have any right to be there, but just simply his mercy. And that's the truth. It's not some artificial humility on my side. This is actually position. Only by the causeless mercy of the pure devotee that we get a chance to engage in this devotional service. So he came in such difficult conditions, living in New York, in the Bowery, such hellish condition, just to extend himself, to reach out to the suffering people, to pick up those who are a little sincere, to find out about what is the best thing. And he was always extending himself in that way. Even up in the last days, I was there with him in Vrindavan, in the last 6 months, he was always extending himself. I remember another time in London when I complimented him. At this time, he accepted it. Accepted it very nice. He was giving a lecture and speaking on Bhagavad Gita, and he was speaking how the spiritual master is the representative of Krishna. And when he spoke, suddenly he spoke with such authority that although I was only a few feet away from him, suddenly I realized this is not an ordinary person who's sitting next to me. He's actually directly representing Krishna. Krishna is working right through him. I could sit suddenly, almost like a mystical vision, I could see that this person is directly empowered by Krishna. And I was so, like I had a realization in my heart. It was very wonderful. So just by the next day, I went to give massage, as I was doing every day. So I said to him, Srila Prabhupada, I very much liked your lecture yesterday on Bhagavad Gita, last evening. And Srila Prabhupada said, what part did you like? And I said, yes, Srila Prabhupada, the part where you said you were the representative of Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada said, he accepted that. He didn't say no. Remember when I was talking before, he said no. This he accepted, yes. That was his position. He was a representative of Krishna. But then he was so humble, and of course this was Srila Prabhupada's wonderful feature. Whenever you glorified him, he would somehow, in return, glorify you or glorify Krishna or glorify his spiritual master. He would never just like accept it. But he accepted it for a moment, but then he turned it and he said, and you also can be representative of Krishna. When you say, Krishna said, or Prabhupada said, then you're also representing. So it wasn't like a monopoly that only the priestly class can be represented. Anybody can be representative of Krishna. What is the difficulty? You just have to repeat. What does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? It's very clear. So you just go and you said, Krishna says, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo, Mata Sarvavo, I am the source of everything. So why not accept Krishna? Why not become Krishna's devotee? Man Manabhava Mad Bhakta. Krishna said you should become his devotee. So I'm here today, please, on Krishna's behalf, I'm asking you, become Krishna's devotee. So anyone can represent, it's open. Anyone can become representative of Krishna. Not a very difficult thing. But we won't accept. We want to put our own twist on it. We want to have our own signature. And therefore, things become distorted. And because of that, Krishna had to come to again establish the proper Siddhanta. So, not a very difficult thing, but one has to be at least honest to represent. This was what Srila Prabhupada was, a representative of his spiritual master, first and foremost, a representative of the whole parampara, a representative of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Krishna. So, anyone can come to that platform. I'm thinking again, another story, how a few years later in India here, in the, how Srila Prabhupada, I met him in the ISKCON center here. Many of you have been there, I'm sure. So in his quarters on the fifth floor, they were just completed. Must have been 1976 or... Yeah, 76. And so I had come to Bombay from Taiwan. I was preaching there. And then Srila Prabhupada previously was living in one of the other houses, but he had just moved into his new quarters on the fifth floor, and everything was nicely decorated. And so I came in, and I remember I was impressed by it. The atmosphere was so nice. I paid my obeisances, and I said in a very low voice, I said, Vaikuntha, this is like Vaikuntha. And Prabhupada just heard part of it. He said, oh, what is that? I said, this is a Vaikuntha atmosphere. And Prabhupada said, just sat back and smiled. He said, yes. So he accepted that, that this was Vaikuntha. Wherever, of course, the pure devotee is, that place is Vaikuntha. And I can honestly say that coming here today, I'm feeling that same atmosphere, this Vaikuntha atmosphere. And whenever there's Vaikuntha atmosphere, that's because people are chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Jai Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki,
Jai.
Mahamantra ki.
Jai.
So somehow, you found the formula how to make Vaikuntha. Of course, as Radhanath was saying, that also begins by pleasing the representative of Krishna. So you're very fortunate you have such a nice devotee as Radhanath Swami here. So if you just all work to please him, to see that if he's satisfied, then you can know that your position is secure. And this is the parampara, that if we please the representative of Krishna, if we serve the devotee of Krishna, then Krishna is more pleased. We were hearing in the discourse, this is Krishna's mood. He's bhaktavatsal. He himself is trying to please the devotee. So if we engage in cooperating with his purpose to please the devotee, then we can quickly get his mercy. This is the secret. Even Srila Prabhupada, if we read in Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 2, text 41, in the purport there, Srila Prabhupada mentions in his own life how he was inspired by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who quoted Yashya Prasadam, Bhagavat Prasadam, Yashya Prasadam, Nagati Katovi, by pleasing the devotee. One will quickly please Krishna. So Prabhupada said he took that as his life and soul, to please, to serve the lotus feet of his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. And by that sincere service attitude, satisfying the devotee, then he very quickly got the mercy of Krishna. So this is the success formula, to please the devotee, and then Krishna will be pleased. So thank you very much for inviting me here, and to get a chance to speak, and so many nice bright faces here. I'm very inspired by your association, and by the association of Radhanath Swami, who was always famous for his ecstatic kirtans. So now you have to share him also with the rest of the world. You can't just keep him here locked up in your center. I want to bring him also to Poland. When he comes to America sometime, he can stop. The preaching there is going very nicely. So many young boys and girls are joining. They're very pious, very sincere people. Although they're not coming from this background, but they're taking the mission as their life and soul. So we can be inspired by their example. In Russia also, how many people are coming forward and sincerely sacrificing everything for Srila Prabhupada's mission. So we can all be inspired by the example of this worldwide preaching mission that Srila Prabhupada established. I remember this was his concern, because obviously there was a problem in his spiritual master's mission. The tendency is there. This is the material world after all. And the material, Maya is very strong. This is Maya's kingdom. So Maya will want to come in somehow. She sees that the spiritual movement is strong, She's taxing her brain. How I can break this movement? This is her business. So in the mission of Bhaktisiddhanta, there was some break. The preaching was checked. And so Srila Prabhupada was always concerned how to make it so that this momentum, this preaching momentum, continues. In the last days, he gave us the example of the bundle of sticks. How if you can take one stick, you can easily break it. But if they're bundled together, then they won't break so easily. So he told us, you can cooperate. This will show that you love me. So he was concerned, and therefore, as disciples, we should also have that concern, how his mission will go on nicely. And it's not very difficult. Simply we have to agree to cooperate and not think that we know everything. Even if we do, even if we're right about something, if someone else... Radhanath Swami and I were discussing before. Now, there were a period when we had different views about things. But because he was sincerely trying to please the spiritual master, he wasn't wrong. I wasn't right. But that mentality requires a little bit of advancement, a little bit transcendental. We think, well, because I'm right, that everybody else is wrong. But this is not the vision of the devotee. If someone is actually sincerely trying to please his spiritual master and Krishna, then he's right, even if he's so-called wrong. So just keep that mood of sincerely trying to please your spiritual master, and certainly you'll always be right. This is the only requirement. You have that sincerity of purpose is the only qualification you have to have. Then everything else will follow. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna.